welcome to the Grace Hour. This is our usual daily program that dives into believers' daily challenges and helps us to learn how to walk by faith in a practical way. I'm here in the studio. I'm Ronaldo Brown, and I'm here with Pastor Stephen Schibelli, and we'll be talking about prayer. We've been talking about prayer all week, but we've been kind of walking through this together, types of prayer, the value of prayer. And we've kind of established that prayer is a big part of our life with God. But ironically enough, prayer is not a big part of the life of the church. Pastor Love mentioned on Wednesday an interesting statistic from the Barna Group concerning a survey about churches and their plans and their programs towards development. Of all the themes that were talked about, prayer was not even mentioned. And one of the biggest challenges with church growth is that there is a lack of prayer. So how do we cultivate an atmosphere or a mindset or a corporate vision for prayer in the church, Pastor Schibelli?
That's an interesting statement, that it's at the bottom of the list.
Yes, sir.
Prayer is at the bottom of the list in what's known as priorities, which is really shocking today, because if you read Acts chapter you can read Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47, mm-hmm. Acts chapter 4, 31 through 34, Acts chapter 6, 1 through 10, and then Acts chapter 8 and 9, and through the Bible, 11, 19 through 26, 13, 1 through 3, when they were praying, the Holy Spirit called them to ministry. So prayer was an integral part of the early church, an integral part. They gave themselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. Notice that, Acts 6, 4 mm-hmm. through 7. They gave themselves. The word is very interesting, proskaterero. It means they just literally were cleaving to it.
Wow.
They would cleave to the ministry of the word and prayer. And, you know, they were in tremendous persecution. Mm-hmm. There was opposition and persecution. There was not only the Roman government with all of its evil and wickedness. There was idolatry, mm-hmm. The Roman government and all the idolatry that was going on. There was the opposition of the Jewish religious people who were against the church. You know, there's organized religion against the church. And there's everything that goes on in life, you know, just trying to live and to eat and to raise a family and to see the church develop. Mm-hmm. So the key in the book of Acts, you see this so often, is the ministry of prayer. They say that in South Korea, is it Dr. Cho? Right?
It is.
Yeah, they have what they call Prayer Mountain. They say that at any point in time, they could have 150,000 people going up there weekly to pray. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why North Korea has been held back from its entrance into South Korea, and it's not made any. You know, we can say, oh, it's our help. It's armed forces. It's help from other nations. Okay, we'll give you that too, because prayer could also make that happen.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, it's they're praying to God who's going to protect them from mm-hmm. evil. Jesus said it, didn't he, in his prayer in Matthew chapter 6,
yes.
Deliver us from evil. Mm-hmm. Deliver us from evil. And you wonder why evil has such an inroads into even Christianity today.
Wow.
Because I think it's based on the fact that two things. Is there a ministry of the word, and is there prayer? And by the way, when it says ministry of the word, it doesn't mean that we just study the word, but we minister to, we're ministering to lost people, mm-hmm. ministering the gospel. That's the ministry of the word. So prayer, how to cultivate it in a church today, in a personal life. Number one, let's start with the leadership of the church.
Hmm.
Okay, if the leadership of the church does not see the importance of prayer, like they did in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
you know, Peter and John were praying.
Yes.
They went up to pray mm-hmm. in the temple, Acts 3. If leadership doesn't see the importance of prayer in the church, well, there's going to be certainly sovereign people who will pray in an assembly. But overall, the church is not going to have a prayer life, because leadership doesn't run that road. They don't drive that vehicle. Mm-hmm. And as leaders go today, sad to say, so often is the way the church follows. So leaders need to pray.
Okay.
Then there needs to be, in my individual life, an understanding of the importance of prayer, that I pray,
mm-hmm.
that I'm a person that prays. And I'm not saying how often or how much or the length of time or the types of prayer, but they gave themselves to prayer.
Okay.
Whatever that means. I'm talking to God. And it's not some kind of ritualistic mm-hmm. prayer that goes up, and that's memory wrote. It's all there, and you just say the prayer. But I'm actually talking to God. God, I need you today. Mm-hmm. I need help today. Please give me your life today. Please help me to be directed in your steps today. So to cultivate prayer in Christianity is going to take leadership and believers and churches who see the importance of prayer. I think sometimes what happens is this. I was thinking about this morning. We are so sophisticated in our technology and our organization.
Sure.
And I think God just says, as for that, I'm going to shut the door. Mm. I don't even care about that. Mm. I know that there is some aspect of that that's important.
Yeah.
But you know what? If that's what you think is what makes a successful church, watch me close the door and nothing happens. You're going to pray and there's going to be iron above your head.
Do you think that that's why a lot of churches don't grow?
I think that's definitely one of the reasons, because you see churches in China, in mm-hmm. Asia, mm-hmm. in different places, they're growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I really believe they are people of prayer. And maybe sometimes that's because they haven't had a lot of access to the Bible, the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And even if they do, they don't have like 87 different commentaries and books they have to read to decipher what the Holy Spirit could tell them through the Bible. I mean, I'm not against commentaries. Sometimes I read them, but I don't read them to check what the Spirit's saying to me.
I see.
You know, I'm reading the Bible. It's the only inspired book. There are other great books. Please mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. Doctrine booklets. By the way, our doctrine booklets that we have are Bible. It's yeah. all Bible. Yeah. It's amazing. So the importance of prayer, talking to God. Mm. In other words, I got a family problem, a marriage problem. My children are going in a certain direction. Do I always try to bring in the correction through self-analysis of the situation? And then go to the world to let it evaluate how I handle problems? Or do I just say, God, help me? How about God, help me? I mean, you've seen that in the scriptures so often.
Yes.
That men of God, David would pray, help, Lord, mm-hmm. Psalm 12, verse 1. For the godly or grace man ceases, and the faithful fail from the children of men. He prayed.
Yeah.
They prayed. The church prayed in Acts. And that's what happened. Why is it that out of 7.3 billion people on planet Earth, you might have, and I'm not saying whether they're spiritual or carnal,
yep.
you might have 700 million Christians, one-tenth.
Okay.
One out of every 10 people is a Christian. How many of them are born again is another interesting thing. Some people estimate 5 to 7%.
Okay.
So you're talking about possibly 500 million out of 7.3 billion people are saved. I think prayer should be an emphasis. I think we need to pray. And the more organized and the more sophisticated and the more technologically advanced a country is, a church becomes. And I wonder what takes place. I wonder why it is that out of 200 and maybe 50 million people in America, the amount of people that would proclaim to be Spirit-filled, born-again Christians is minimal.
Well,
it's minimal.
The Barna Group's survey was saying that the guys that are there, prayer is not a part of it. Pastor Lee, this is a big move right now, I'm going to say for the last 15 years, possibly 20, where Christianity is trying to go back to the early church. They no longer want to meet in a church. They want to meet in homes. In fact, there was in Texas recently, there was an entire house church movement where they all uh-huh. came together in a stadium, and they were all small house churches. And there's this big push for early church Christianity. What's ironic about that is they're more concerned with the venue than they are the
yeah.
prayer life. They right. don't have early church prayer.
Early church, trying to follow early church procedures.
Yes.
Without early church prayer.
Wow.
Without the power of God. Because you know what? I think God is waiting there. Call upon me and I will answer mm-hmm. and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3. Call upon me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you to call upon me and ask. I wonder if God just kind of looks up and can the Spirit be grieved? Yes, the Holy Spirit can be grieved because he's being quenched.
Mm.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 and 19, Ephesians 4, verse 30. The grieving. You know what the word grieve means? To suffer loss. So grieving is God is saying, I'm suffering loss of my relationship with you because you don't talk to me.
Right.
How about if two people are in a house and they never talk to each other?
Mm-hmm.
They're married.
Right.
They don't talk. Yeah. They just, I do my thing. You do your thing. Mm-hmm. We just go on our way and we never talk at all unless it's over something essential. Well, I mean, what kind of a relationship is that going to be?
True.
What kind of a life is that going to be? So the church doesn't talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say this. Maybe when God looks at a church that doesn't talk to him, doesn't care about prayer, does God talk to the church? In other words, is there messages that are God speaking, mm-hmm. God's life coming forth? And of course, God doesn't do things just because we do things,
right?
In reciprocation. But the fact of the matter is, he sees the church. Does that church have any interest in having a relationship, a fellowship with God? This is what was on Paul's mind in Ephesians 6:18-19. Praying always, men ought to pray and faint not. But Paul always talked about prayer. In Ephesians 6, he's in prison.
Yeah,
what an opportunity. Maybe more believers in the West ought to go to prison.
Well, I think
maybe they developed their prayer life. I don't know.
I think our jails are full already, so I think we're busting at the seams.
Okay, but maybe we're not busting out with the right people.
That might be true. Let me ask you this question. Okay, I'm a pastor in my church. I want to cultivate an attitude. I want to cultivate prayer in my church.
Right.
Is there a place for scheduled prayer? I find a lot of times in the schedule, we don't want to be mechanical, but at the same time, if I don't put that in there, like, it's amazing what a pastor puts in his church schedule. It's what he thinks is important.
I think scheduled prayer, and then even in a church service, to be led to pray. Mm. Maybe you have an hour and a half church service, and maybe all of a sudden you just decide that we're going to have a prayer meeting. People are already there. You don't have to like have another time where they have to come. Maybe they're coming two or three times a week already. So to have a lot of prayer meetings might not draw a lot of people.
Yes.
But so I could say, and we did this in Africa for years.
Yeah.
We had prayer before church. Mm-hmm. And after church, I didn't want to make them come another time just for prayer. Hmm. We could pray before and after church, and maybe there would only be a few that would show up. And I thought that was important. Then a pastor could pray in church.
Okay,
what's wrong with having a time of prayer in the church?
Now that's bold. It's bold that you would. I guess you break structures. It's bold to interrupt in heavy quotation marks. Church service.
The program.
And let me take this opportunity. For those of you that are listening to us, I would love to know your thoughts about your culture in your church on prayer. In the church that you attend to, how is prayer part of that? And if it is, I'd like to know what that is. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060. Yep. Or 410-483-3700. Email us questions at gracehour.org. We're live on YouTube and Facebook. I would love to know what's happening in your church in prayer, because it's a huge, huge builder or breaker in the development of a church. You can also reach us on podcasts, on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher. Talk to me. I want to know what's happening in your church in prayer.
And you know what? You've got maybe 10 or 12 different ways people can communicate with us.
Yes.
There's 1 billion ways you can communicate with God.
What's his phone number? Tell me.
33.
There it is. Jeremiah.
How about this? Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers,
yes,
said the two most unattended meetings in any church, even he said this, you're talking 150 years ago.
It was.
He said a prayer meeting and a gospel outreach. Watch this. Talking to God about people,
okay,
and talking to people about God. Two most unattended meetings. Oh, you have a picnic. Everybody's there. And I love picnics. I love hot dogs and things like that. You have events, and we need events, and we love events. But those are two events that are very much unattended, because it's going to require a lot of spiritual life.
I wonder, yeah, what is the percentage of the church schedule that is dedicated to prayer? It's amazing how people want counseling, but they don't, yeah, want prayer. I've noticed also, maybe you've noticed, when you talk to people in the body of Christ and they want a counseling session, it's almost like they don't expect prayer. They just want advice.
Right.
Tell me what, yeah, to do or what not to do.
And I would ask them this question. I would say when they come, and they do.
Yeah.
Number one, did you talk to God? Did you let God talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you talk to God?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you say that God, you don't read your Bible, mm-hmm, and you don't pray, I don't think I have an answer for you.
Wow.
My answer is you need to pray and read your Bible. Because maybe, and you know what happens with a lot of Christian counselors and even pastors? They try to make up answers that are convenient for people. And then there's absolutely no results that take place. Because God is saying, listen, they don't talk to me and they don't read the Bible. So you know what? You're not going to have an answer. There will be no answer.
But you want to, in other words, you want to help them. Yes. And I get that. You want to help them.
Yes.
But it maybe the best way to help someone is to turn them to God.
Yes.
Maybe.
Absolutely. It is the way.
Yeah.
It is the way. And this is so important. I mean, here is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he doing in John 17, along with many other instances in the scriptures? He's praying to his Father. Wait a minute. You are the manifestation of the Word. You're the Word that became flesh.
Yeah.
Okay. You are God the Son.
Mm.
You don't know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does, but he's going to rely upon his Father. And in the incarnation, God becoming a man, he submitted.
Yeah.
See, one of the problems with which we never deal with when it comes to prayer is, are people humble? If you're not humble, I'm not humble, you're not going to pray. If you're not meek, you won't read the Bible. If you're not humble, you won't pray. So what we do is we try to figure out ways to get people to pray. How about like humility?
Let's stay right there for a second. Okay, so
how about that one?
You're saying a lack of humility feeds a lack of prayer in my life and the church?
In my own life, I can say it, yes.
That's big.
I can say it.
That's big.
What I'm saying is, I don't care what God says.
Okay.
He says pray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Many scriptures tell us to pray.
Yes.
I don't care what he says. Are you kidding me? I can be God in my own life. I can make this happen. Mm. I don't need to pray. I have all the methods. I have all the methodology.
Yeah.
You know, I remember a story about Jonathan Goforth.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group in China. I can't remember what their name was, but they were a group that hated Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming. I think there was 1,000 of them moving towards his little place, his church, and the area that they had developed. And they were like, these people are gonna get rid of us.
Yeah.
They're going to kill us. And he decided to have an all-night prayer meeting. And on the road to them coming, all of a sudden, great hailstones fell from heaven.
Mm.
And it stopped their entire movement and turned them back.
Mm.
You see, he prayed and hailstones came. You can, by the way, you can pray away a hurricane. And if a hurricane hits, doesn't mean you didn't pray.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? People don't even think about that. Have you ever heard anybody on any of these weather channels or on the news ever talk about, well, we ought to pray. There ought to be some prayer about what's going on. I was talking to my aunt yesterday. She's 97 years old.
Wow.
And she's right in the middle of the hurricane. And she goes, first of all, I believe in God and I don't really care. I said, she's 97 years old. I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, she should be screaming. She goes, I got my son and my daughter and my other daughter with me. And whatever happens, happens. And that's the way it is.
Wow.
And, you know, you just trust God. By the way, the smallest, simplest prayer from a child of God, even a young child, is like a cannonball that blows open the gates of heaven. That's another Spurgeon thought. It's a cannonball, blows right through the door.
But let's just say that I'm in a church, okay, and it's a good church. But in the church, there's not an attitude of prayer. There's an attitude of assembly and fellowship.
And I got to cultivate it, like you said. How do we cultivate?
How do I do that?
Okay, I have to pray that people would be open to prayer as a leader.
That's unusual.
Yes.
So you're saying pray that they would pray.
Pray that they would pray.
Wow.
Pray that God help me to pray.
Okay.
Remember what Jesus said?
Yeah.
What they said, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
That was the disciples, the apostles.
Sure.
So if leadership doesn't have a desire to pray or doesn't see the importance of prayer, it's kind of a difficult situation now that we're in. There can be individuals in the church that give themselves to prayer.
Right.
And I think there are many people, I know that as I travel, people tell me, my objective is just to pray for you. I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be praying for you on your travels.
Wow.
So if a pastor or a group of elders in a church do not see the importance of prayer, how will that work its way down into the church? It will develop a group of people that do not pray. And you know what? They shift towards the organizational methods of man.
Yeah.
And they just want to tack on Jesus. Let's tack Jesus' name on it and make it work.
Well, we get organized. And the thing is, what has happened in the church in the last 50 years, it's been a tremendous move to organize the church. We have a lot of structure. We have a lot of layers of leadership. We have a lot of order, and the order has helped us. But have we organized ourselves out of the simplicity of prayer?
Well, sometimes I remember in Africa, they would be coming to Bible class. I said, I don't think I'm going to teach anything tonight. Let's get on our knees and pray. That would just blow some people's structures. Some people would get upset.
Of course.
I said, "Oh, we're gonna talk to God. Okay. Yeah, he's been talking to us plenty in the Bible.
Right.
Like we're going to spend today. And one of the things that you know, because you lived in Africa, one of the greatest attended meetings in Africa is the all-night prayer meeting.
Yeah.
You can't even believe that. Call an all-night prayer meeting in Western countries or Europe.
Yeah.
You know who's going to attend? Some birds that fly over. No, I mean, there'll be some people that will come. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being so obtruse.
But they would be there, but I would say this to you. Maybe this is it, Pastor Bell. You said one reason why it's not there is humility. Maybe another reason why is I don't really believe it works.
There you go. No faith.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, if I'm not humble towards God's initiations, I don't have faith in what he says.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe and by the way, am I praying according to the will of God? Some people pray to fulfill their own lusts.
Yes.
You know, what's on their mind. You know, I'm praying for this. I'm praying for that.
Yeah.
I'm praying for this. And I'm praying that these people would get back together or these kids would grow. Yes, of course we do that. But you know what? I want to pray. My first objective in prayer is getting to know God.
Yeah.
This is the key. And if my prayer is to get to know God, then what God says to me, I can implement through the Spirit in my life. But this is a thing that you see in the New Testament church a lot of.
Yeah.
What? They had the Roman persecution. They had all these Greeks with their knowledge, mm-hmm. and their so-called sophisticated wisdom. Mm-hmm. They had the Jews attacking and persecuting them. They had people that were atheists, agnostics. They had everything coming against them. And maybe when a church is laid back and everything is going well and nothing is really attacking, nothing's going wrong, there's no need to pray. Look, we got it all together. We got it all together. You know what? Mm. Maybe what this country needs is a lot of persecution. How about that one? Nobody ever prays for that, do they?
Well,
about that?
Well, it's maybe the thing you don't pray for, but you hit something very interesting just now when you said that I pray to fellowship with God. If you're a believer hearing my voice right now and you struggle because you believe that prayer doesn't work, turn it around. Instead of praying for God to work, pray to get to know God, and you'll cultivate a capacity so that, because a lot of times if you just evaluate prayer as I pray for God to work, I prayed, he didn't work, so prayer doesn't work. So change your goal. Instead of making it, I'm praying for God to work, I'm praying, as Pastor Belli has just said, to get to know God. Then all of a sudden, the results don't matter. All of a sudden, I go to prayer and I'm motivated for engagement that, rather than having an expectation for results. That's a brilliant statement.
How about this?
That's awesome.
Sometimes people pray. How do you know it's the will of God? There's no answer. God says, I'm not answering that prayer.
Yeah.
That prayer has got nothing to do with my will for you.
Yeah.
You know what? How about, you know, just praying to get to know God, to grow as a believer, to God, fill me with your love so I can love people. Help me to understand your word so I can manifest the truth to people, you know, rather than, oh, I pray you get me 5 new tires. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. Please don't take this wrong. If you're out there, pray that I get, you know, a Mercedes Benz. Pray that I get a job that pays me double what I'm making now. And God is going, I pray that you lose your job. Maybe I'm going to allow you to lose your job so you'll get to know me. Maybe getting to know me takes losing your job.
I think we just hit on one of our big points today about how do I cultivate in my church, in my family, in the church, our attitude of prayer. Introduce it as getting to know God. We do that with the Bible. We introduce the Bible as getting to know God. And to bring that into the realm of prayer in a church, we as a church would like to get to know God more. So we're going to pray more. Like you said, let's be bold. Let's interrupt our service and say, okay, for 25 minutes right now, Pastor Shalit is brilliant at that. He just pulls, okay, I want you guys to pray with your neighbor for 10 minutes. It's unscripted, unscheduled. He says, by the way, I want you to know that prayer is important. You said something earlier that I really like, which was praying after service, which we do seasonally here as well. But to pray, have prayer after service. That's amazing. I just heard the word of God. Let's be quiet before God to get to know God based on what I've heard.
Yeah, because sometimes people left the service. Well, okay, it's more important for me to get a coffee and a donut. It's more important for me to get on the road or get home so I can hopefully not watch my favorite program.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Or it's like, you know, there's all these things to do. Even sometimes, you know, we could have a session with us, questions and answers, Q&A, and maybe that should be turned into a prayer meeting. Guess
what?
If you didn't learn what was preached, Like, so now I have to develop this more for you. Huh. So I'm not saying I believe in Q&As. I like them. Yeah. But it doesn't have to always be the case. Yeah. And I think that, number one, if a leader of a church or a leader of a family doesn't think prayer is important, well, where do you think it's going to go? The yeah. church is not going to think that way. You know, and it's because that's leadership. When leadership promotes evangelism,
yeah.
then people will evangelize. Mm-hmm. When leadership promotes, people used to say to me sometimes in Springfield when I was there in Massachusetts and Africa, it's all you talk about is reaching people. I said, what are we supposed to be doing here? We're supposed to do two things. We're supposed to develop disciples and reach the lost. Yeah. I mean, what are we here for? To build a building? Huh?
Pastor Belly, we are communal people.
Communal. Huh?
So we commune. We need community. Get that sense of community corporately directed towards us knowing God is the challenge that we're talking about today. I get to
hear. Yeah.
You said leadership by example and by. Would you take it as far as instruction?
Well, of course. Instruction on prayer is very important.
Okay.
I mean, they could do a series of messages. I remember every Wednesday night, mm-hmm. okay? Every Wednesday night for 52 weeks, it was prayer.
Mm.
We talked about prayer, wow. we taught prayer, and we prayed. Every midweek service mm-hmm. was all based on prayer. We'd have teaching.
Okay.
We'd have songs, we'd have music, but prayer was the emphasis for 1 year. You know what? And I'm telling you why. Because I recognized something in people that were in Africa that they really loved mm-hmm. prayer. And there was something about it. So rather than, you know, and I bringing in the word in Bible school and teaching the word of God, you know, made sure that prayer was not the only emphasis.
Sure.
But I want to encourage them in the places of their strength,
yeah.
where they're strong. And they really believe in prayer. And sometimes because of all the evil and all the witchcraft going on in some of these places, people say, I got to pray.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could tell you stories about witchcraft that would shock you,
yeah.
that would shock the average believer, you know, seeing manifestations of evil. And boy, if that doesn't bring it to prayer, I don't know what else will. So how to cultivate that in a personal life. It's got to start in the leadership of the church, in the church,
right.
and then in people's personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership in the church, and then individuals seeking those truths.
Say I'm in a church. I'm a member. And I don't think the church, we don't have a lot of prayer, and I would like to see us do more prayer. How would I approach leadership about that?
Go to your brother alone and say, and I would do it as a creative and meek way to do it.
Yeah.
Say, you know, I really think in my life, this is how I would approach it.
Okay.
I really think in my life I need to pray more. I've got a lot of struggles and warfare in my life and
okay.
sin and the devil in the world. Like, can you help me to pray more? That's how I would initiate it.
Okay.
And then say, you know, what do you think? I mean, we have such great teaching of the Bible, and we have so many other things that we're very good at. Like, what do you think about, like, more prayer? So I would not approach it with an attack manner,
okay.
an accusatory manner,
right.
but with, I need help. I need to learn how to pray.
Okay.
What should I do? So, and there's people like me that are like that, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what should I do? You know, and then who knows what door that will open up when with leadership. But and I'm not saying that you can't go up and say, you know, like I think that we ought to have a prayer meeting or more prayer meetings in the church. What do you think, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. It just depends on how you approach it. You know, Pastor says, we don't need to pray. Who needs prayer in the church? Who needs that? Come on, we got better. Are you kidding me? We're so sophisticated. Who needs to ask God to do anything? We can do it ourselves. You know what? Well,
order and organization. Today's church runs like a machine. I mean, everything is kind of done. It all kind of happens.
If I pulled those plugs out over there,
yes,
there's no show. This show's over.
Technically.
I pull the plugs out and the power goes down. We're in trouble.
Yes.
Okay. What about being plugged into prayer? And isn't that important? Is that, you know, a key? And maybe I need to look at the Bible and find out how important it was. Abraham prayed about Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't mm-hmm. he?
Yes.
Prayed for Lot. You can see prayer through the scriptures. They gave themselves to pray. And the early church is so evident of that. Jeremiah was a man of prayer. Isaiah was a man of prayer.
Yes.
Ezekiel was a man of prayer. Daniel did what?
Prayed.
When he was faced with the demonic warfare,
yep.
I mean, he had a test in Daniel 1, a test in Daniel 3, a test in Daniel 6, and the big one came in 10. And 10, he was facing, and he was alone.
Yes.
And he was facing demonic warfare. And it was the princes of Persia and Greece. Mm. So he was facing head demons. And what did he do? He got on his face for 30 days. Oh, are you kidding me? Have a 30-day prayer meeting? Have a 3-day prayer meeting? Yeah. Have a 3-minute prayer meeting? No, really.
Yeah.
Think about it. Imagine if we just said, like, let's have a prayer. Let's have 3 days of prayer. Let's have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday be devoted to prayer. I mean, I think that would be so helpful in the church.
You said something earlier that I'm going to go back to when you said it was kind of controversial because you're not that controversial to begin with, but it was kind of controversial.
Oh, really?
You said
I need to grow them.
That God should bring warfare,
yeah,
against the church to make the church pray. Well, some would argue 9/11. They would argue COVID was used by God to drive Christians to their knees. My question is, would we have a better, would we be stirred up in the fire of prayer as a church if we had a better understanding of spiritual warfare?
Absolutely. Because if people have this idea that there is no warfare because everything is going wonderful for them.
That's interesting.
And there's warfare going on all the time. So you have a three-front war we're facing. The flesh against the spirit, the world against the church, and the devil and his demons, okay, going against Jesus and the angels. You got a three-front warfare. And if people don't realize that, that means they're not students of the Bible. And if they're not students of the Bible and they don't realize the three-front warfare, they're not going to pray because they don't think there's, what's there to pray about?
I will say that the second and the third enemy that you mentioned are talked about. The first one, the flesh against the spirit, is almost never talked about as far as warfare. I'm not a problem in my life. The devil and the world are the problems in my life.
You don't hear much talk about the old sin nature, except if you read the Bible.
That's true.
Yeah, you read the Bible, you hear a lot about the old sin nature. Galatians chapter 5, the flesh and the spirit.
Yeah.
So, in other words, I'm not, you know, saying like we need tests and trials. I think there's plenty of them.
Yes, there are.
But sometimes they're not realized by the believer. Doesn't realize this is from the enemy. This is they are looking at situations in life and in the world and in their neighborhood or in their school system, and they're viewing it as something that's a natural thing taking place that's not good. They don't view it. They don't view these things as warfare.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. Maybe I think it's flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12.
Yeah.
I think my problem is a person.
Absolutely.
So I don't have to pray. I just have to deal with that person.
Oh, I know. Here's a good one. Oh, I'm having a problem with Peter's personality. I need to psychologically change him and bring him to a counseling session. No, get behind me, Satan. You're being used by Satan, and you're my lead apostle. You know what? You know, and how about this one? One of you is a devil.
Yeah.
You know, so Jesus addressed it.
Yeah.
You know, he addressed it and addressed it very clearly.
And maybe that's why he prayed so much.
Huh?
Maybe that's why he prayed so much because he saw the warfare.
He saw the warfare.
I think it was Pastor Morrison that did a survey of 50 years of Pastor Stevens' preaching in the top 10 categories. And I believe warfare was number one or number three.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah.
But we love to hear from you guys. Reach out to us. Apple, Google, Spotify,
there?
Amazon Music, iHeart, Audible, Stitcher. Write into us. Call in 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. I would love to hear some inventive and creative ways that your church you belong to pray. Let me hear some interesting things. Share with our listeners unique things. Maybe it's an all-night prayer meeting. Maybe you have prayer in the street. Give me some ideas. There's one idea I know that I saw we're doing in Owings Mills. We got this thing called a prayer station where you literally take the station and you set it up and you sit it outside and you put prayer and people come and they pray with you.
Uh-huh.
So we would love to hear what your church is doing. John Douse has just told us from Marlboro tonight, they're having a prayer meeting in the church in Marlboro tonight at 7 p.m. in
Pray Gregory's for us.
Christian Fellowship. That's one way.
That's one way,
organize, schedule prayer meetings. Write in, call us, let us know what you're doing for prayer. I'd love to hear it. Because honestly, Pastor Belly, in most church schedules, prayer does not make up 10% of the schedule.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
And that's why they only have 10% of the results. that they could have.
Yeah.
And I like that idea about a prayer station. Wouldn't that be interesting that on our outreaches, we had a table and chairs and we, you know, maybe a two or three chairs. And we just said, do you need prayer?
Yes.
Sometimes, like, if you're standing there and people are walking by, they're a little bit intimidated. But if you had a table and it said prayer meeting for anyone that wants it, has some booklets there for free, you'd be surprised how you could reach out to people. We did that for years in Massachusetts.
We got that idea from YWAM. When I was in Richmond, Virginia, they had this whole session. YWAM was soul winning with door knocking with us in Richmond. 70 young people went door knocking in Richmond.
Wow.
And they came out with these two prayer stations. We put one on each end of the park. We put people there with tables to sit down. And in my walking past, whatever you want to pray for, we'll pray with you, pray for you. It was amazing. So we got one. It's a wonderful little outreach. If you're doing door knocking or soul winning, put the prayer station there and pray. And I think this is a creative way to get prayer into the church, into the culture of the church, being prayerful. I also would suggest this. If you're a leader or you're a pastor in a church, in your counseling sessions, and this almost sounds like it should be obvious, but maybe it's not, to pray before you meet with somebody, to pray after you meet with somebody, or make that part of your counseling. When you advise someone, when you counsel, make prayer part of it. Make it part of your evangelism.
It says, I think I have the answer. I'm looking at the Bible. God has the answer. And let's pray that God gives us the answer.
Beautiful.
And I like the idea. You know, I can't remember any time that I've ever said to somebody, even out on evangelism or on door knocking or at any time in the church, let's pray. And they said, I don't want to pray.
It's true.
People don't say that. No. They even if it's a short, they don't want you to stand there for 20 minutes, you know, and it's like, you know, there's snow on the ground and, they're there. But it's like, people don't reject that. I think that you're not saying like, come to this church or go to that church or you should do this, you should do that. It's just like, can we pray?
Yes.
Can I pray for you? Could you pray for me? You know, and whatnot. I think that is a very good way to reach people, because I don't think people are going to reject prayer, even if they're an unbeliever.
Yeah,
you know, they maybe they have this idea that, okay, I don't really believe, but you know, I don't really believe in my personal life, but there is a God.
Yeah,
and so maybe this person that's talking to me right now is, you know, we pray, and there could be a connect here. You know?
Prayer is a gateway to God. A lot of times,
praying for people to connect with us.
They will.
Come on now.
I know a lot of you are listening. And by the way, a lot of young people have come up to me and said they really love the program. I'd love to hear how you like the program. Let us know the new format, the new content. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you like it. What you don't like, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us.
Do you think that we should have a day in the week that we would say, bring your prayer requests in or send prayer requests on the screen and we'll pray for certain people? I don't know. It could be 10 minutes out of a session. It could be whatever.
Not bad. You know? It'd be great to donate some time to prayer. It's nothing like hearing somebody else pray for what's on your heart.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
I mean, how about, like, the Bible tells us to pray for those in authority.
Yes.
You know, rather than complain about those in authority and be divisive about it and then talk about all the things they should or shouldn't do, how about praying for them?
Isn't it interesting how much Christians can rant about politics and leaders?
I'm not even in that government.
But you can't pray.
Yeah.
But I can definitely promote. Prayer. Prayer is key. Let's take one of our phone calls. We lost a call. Okay.
Let's pray that the communication works.
Well, I'll just say this. God's prayer works. And I like what you said about the ability of the leadership to put prayer in the schedule
priority,
and in the routine. Because one thing about the church, whatever is a priority to the leadership becomes a priority to the church. If it's giving, if it's evangelism, if it's missions, if it's prayer, their priority becomes the body's priority.
And I think if leadership does that, I mean, we would hear about Pastor Stevens and we would hear people telling us how much he prayed in the early days of the ministry and whatnot, the prayer meetings they had. And this was very important. Some people don't see that as a tool to build the church.
No.
They want all these other tools. They want all the gimmicks, all the ideas. And some of them are good and they're God sent for sure. Mm-hmm. But we know of one that really works, like reaching people with the gospel and then praying to God that God would send people our way. Send people our way. They're just driving by and they just stop in. Mm-hmm. Who told you about the church? Nobody. I just saw the sign.
Yeah.
You know, God saw them and then they saw the sign. And it's amazing. You know, it's amazing how people would come, new visitors, and the importance of praying that God would touch people's lives. I think this is something
now, that's interesting. What if leaders prayed with new visitors?
Yeah.
In other words, they came, they get ready to leave. Before they leave, take some time and as a leader, as a pastor, before you leave, let me pray for you for the week. You might be the only person to pray for them in the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Because everyone says, I'm going to pray for you. But to actually do it, it's like one of those things, say, how you doing? I'm doing okay. It's just something that you say, the Christian version is, I'm praying for you. That's great. Thank you for telling me. That's what it's empty. It's obligatory.
Yeah, I'm praying for you.
I'm praying for you. Yeah. Sure you are. Yeah. But to actually have someone say, hey, before you leave, let me have a word of prayer with you. Like we were soul-winning with the high schoolers, I think it was 8th grade, downtown this last Friday. And we were going around, and me and Eliab met two guys from Ethiopia.
Uh-huh.
Been in America 3 weeks. Didn't know the left hand from the right hand. We spent time with them. We prayed for them. And to see the change in their faces, mm-hmm. that two guys that they just met would take time and pray for them was amazing.
Yeah, it means you care for them.
Yes.
They understand that Jesus praying for me, he ever lives to make intercession for us.
Mm.
Oh, there's a pretty good fundamental foundation for prayer.
Yes.
He who is my God, my Savior,
yes.
he ever lives to do what?
Make
intercession for us.
Mm.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's all he's doing.
Mm.
It's all he's doing, you know? It's like he ever lives to make intercession for us. And so the importance of prayer, you can see it in the life of Christ himself.
Yes.
You can see it in the life of the early church. And it's important that we see it. And we see it, by the way, there are many places around the world where there's incredible struggles and problems and difficulties and wars.
Yeah.
And people have given themselves over to prayer. And this is key. They gave themselves in Acts 6:4 to the ministry of prayer. They gave themselves. This is so important. That means it's time. It's a decision. It's an effort. And by the way, Satan hates prayer.
Mm.
He hates prayer. Why? Because you're praying to God. You're praying to God Almighty who can destroy any of his plans. You know, it's not, I'll figure this out.
Yeah.
There's warfare going on. I can't figure it out. I don't know. Did you ever come to a situation you have no idea why something's happening? And God is just leading you to make sure that you are not going to figure this out with your own so-called Christian intellect.
Yes.
But he's gonna give it to you as you minister to him and you pray about the situation.
Couldn't you also say, Pastor Billy, that prayer, the church is familiar with prayer?
Yes.
Like, if you notice when someone preaches on prayer, there can be a spirit of familiarity when you preach on prayer. It's like, oh, it's on prayer. They want to hear something exciting, crazy, motivational.
Yeah.
You can do it. And that message, it's a powerful message. But then to speak on prayer, it's amazing how the spirit of dullness and the spirit of familiarity comes in. And I think that's why preachers don't preach on prayer, and that's why churches don't pray. Because they don't get the wow factor that the preacher's looking for. And you have an amazing message on Gideon, and have an amazing message on, you know, David and Goliath. We're preaching on prayer today.
Pastor Stevens once told me, he said, an amazing message is one that you believe and live in.
Yes.
Not just, oh, what an oratorical, that was incredible oratorically, you know? What a great message, really.
Yeah.
Great message is when somebody preaches on something, love people unconditionally, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great message.
Yes.
You know, I believe it. Faith cometh by hearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and believing. Who has believed that report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So, really, this is a subject that we all need to grow in.
Yes.
And it's important for us to see that don't say that's for somebody else. That's mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah, amen.
That's for me as I'm speaking on this program today. That's for me.
Sure.
I need to pray. And I think sometimes what happens is God brings us into challenging situations when we don't pray.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the very things that we thought were so easy become so difficult.
Mm.
You know what? It's like when you get to a certain age, you have a hard time putting your socks on. That's why I don't wear socks.
Okay?
It was so easy when you're 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years old, 50 years old, put your socks on. But you know what? As the legs don't bend the way they used to, you know? So sometimes you can become, this is how we've always done it. And God is saying, you know what? I'm bringing you into something different. Mm. There's something different going on here. And it's going to take prayer, not just your old familiar Christian formula to get out of this.
Amen. So we're people of prayer. We're growing in prayer. I want to mention this real quick. Hannah Pinkova is asking for us to pray for her. She's being recommended to go to the ER, but she doesn't want to go with some post-COVID situations going on. God, we just pray for her right now.
Thanks, Lord.
That you would touch her, God, that you can do what no doctor can do. That you're the great physician. You're the divine healer. That you would give strength, that you would give discernment, that you would give wisdom, God, that you would give healing and comfort to her right where she is right now, God. We ask you to move and touch and be available to minister to her, God, right where she is, God. Just encourage her and make her available to hear from you. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.
Do we dare, like, you know, sometimes you think about prayer. Some people say, well, pray that my husband or my wife or my kids or this or that would turn. Do we pray that, well, maybe they need to meet something in their life that will cause them to turn? People don't want to pray that way. You know, maybe
it's almost
they need to come against an obstacle.
Yeah. We have that caller? Okay, let's take Madeline Johnson from Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Madeline.
Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Hi. God bless you.
Welcome to the Grace Hour.
Madeline?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
So thank you for all your prayers for my family, for my son Matthew and everybody. Thank you. I love the subject. And I personally love when I can get to pray with somebody, just like God just leads you to pray for somebody. It's just for me. It's just like, wow. But it's so beautiful because I think only one time somebody said, no, the prayer. Most of the time people are very, it's unexpected, and they appreciate it. Somebody actually, going up to them, caring about them.
Have you noticed, Madeline, because of your positive attitude towards prayer, you have a heart to pray with people?
I guess so.
You just have a lot of liberty. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do, yes. God gives us liberty. So much freedom. I love it. I just love sharing it with people.
Beautiful.
And people see that. People do see that, thank God.
And they appreciate it because they see the joy that you have in doing it, you know?
True.
It's amazing.
Well, God bless you all. I really love the subject, man. It's just awesome.
And, amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. God amen. Bless you.
God bless
family.
You. Thank you for calling. Okay, as we close the program this morning, I want to also read this one quote from Lion Taya Green. Says, prayer is a weapon, our most powerful weapon. Praying to God for his protection, leading, guidance, healing, intercession. I learned to trust much more and to lean on you, Father. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when we're on the internet. You can get us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And join us next week at this very same time on Monday as we continue to grow with God together. God bless you and have a great weekend. Take care from the Grace Hour.
Amen.